Thank you for downloading this episode of Squabblebox right here on the DSJMP network. Squabblebox with myself, Kai Valentine, and my co-host, Maisie Anderson, is a live, interactive debate show that airs on Siren FM every Friday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. You'll hear throughout the show that we like to take your opinions and views on different topics. When listening live, you can contact us by going to @SirenFM and the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk. However, if you want to get in touch with us throughout the week, you can do by going to our own Twitter @Squabblebox, our email squabblebox@sirenonline.co.uk, or our Facebook fan page, you guessed it, Squabblebox. For legal reasons, the music that airs live on the show has had to be edited out of the podcast. Please get in touch. We love hearing from you, and we hope you enjoy the show. You're listening to Siren FM. It's 11 a.m. and that means it's time for Squabblebox. Just after 12 o'clock today, we'll be talking to Realize Theatre, a brand new theatre company based in the city of Lincoln. They'll be here to discuss their upcoming performance at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre this Saturday. But first, let me introduce my lovely co-host, Maisie Anderson. Now, I believe, Maisie, after today's show, you're heading straight to the cinema, aren't you?
I hope so. It's got a lot of mixed reviews at the minute, so yeah. I'm going to go with an open mind, although I have been re-watching a lot of the X-Men films to sort of catch up a bit.
Yeah.
But so I watched the original one. It wasn't that long ago since I've seen the new ones, which are the sort of origin stories. They're quite good. I like those ones.
Sounds good. Well, we are here. We're Squabblebox. If you haven't checked us out before, we are your interactive debate show here on Siren FM. We're now in our Thursday slot, 11 a.m, and we'll be staying with you until around 1 p.m. today. So we've got a very, very packed show for you today. As I mentioned, we've got Realize Theatre coming in just after 12 o'clock to talk about their upcoming performance at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, but I think it's time to get this show underway. But first,
really,
Maisie,
yeah. First,
we want to say a huge congratulations.
We do. I'm so happy about this.
For some of you who will have heard it, a couple of months ago, at the very start of her journey, Michelle Franklin appeared on the show. She's from the Lincoln area, and she was starting her This Granny Can campaign. Yes, at 52 years old, she has gone to South Africa to represent Great Britain
at the
World Classics Women's Powerlifting Championships.
I mean, I had the opportunity of actually watching her doing a competition here in England, very close to the Lincoln area in a small village just off to the side. It's in the Lincolnshire area.
Yes.
And I was really, really impressed.
Yeah.
As well as seeing Michelle there, it was the whole of the Dark Side Training, which is the company that she trains with, as well as having just a generally amazing group of women. There were also the men competitors as well. And it was an amazing atmosphere. It was a very long day, but I think 8 hours of powerlifting is definitely worth the watch. Just because the amount of power was amazing. There were women there who could lift two of me.
Yeah.
And I was amazed. It was really, really sort of shocking, but in a good way.
Yeah, she got a, looking at her Facebook page now, she got a silver medal.
She did indeed.
And she's just announced this morning that Team Great Britain Masters, two ladies, best team... Team Great Britain Masters, two ladies, won best team, third place. And she says, we did good, ladies.
We did very good. I'm so proud of them.
We're definitely going to have her back on the show very, very soon. Everyone, including herself and Dark Side Training, doing a fantastic job, not only representing Lincoln, but also representing Great Britain. Fantastic work, ladies.
See, talking about this, it's just reminded me, while I was at the gym earlier, I did try the power... it's not a power assist, but it is an assist... They have an assisted rack. So if you want to do squats or push-ups, but you don't have anyone to spot you,
yes.
You can do it on your own, and it has a fail-safe. So if you do drop it, it will catch itself.
All right.
It's a very clever machine. I tried it today. I tried doing a couple of squats on it with the lowest weight that they had. And this is assisted, so it's got like weight, so it's already weighted so that it's easier for you to do it.
Yeah.
As well. And like in comparison, I feel so weak.
Yeah, I haven't lifted for quite a while. Like, yeah. I never lifted. Like, I always hated it when I used to go into the sauna at the gym and someone would just sit there, really big, muscly guy, and sit there and go, "So, what do you bench?"
Like,
and
I'll go, "Why would people ask that? One,
why would you ask that?"
That's like asking someone their weight or their age. It's just not appropriate.
And I was like, I don't know. I just pick up the dumbbells sometimes.
It's like they have numbers on them, but I don't know.
Around, I don't know. Because I never know what's good either. Because like I'll sit there and I'll go like, I lift the 10 kilo dumbbells sometimes. And they go, yeah, all right. You're a bit weird.
It's, to be fair, the people who ask that just... They only ask people that they know are going to say a lower number than they bench.
Yeah, of course.
Because they want to show off.
Yeah, pick the little scrawny, chubby kid in the, you know, like myself. But we have got a very, very packed show for you
really
today.
We should really get on with it.
We really should get on.
Diversions aside.
So it's time to go into our first segment of the morning, and that is, can you believe that? This week we ask, can you believe that Peggy Mitchell has said her final goodbye and last orders at the Queen Vic? Maisie loves my little...
I don't. I hate it. I already told you, you're not allowed to do the drum. You're not allowed to... No! No, I said no. I said no doing this.
Okay.
That's too late. You've done it now.
So, Maisie, Peggy Mitchell has gone. Barbara Windsor.
She's gone. Yeah. She's just gone.
Now, you didn't watch the episode.
I didn't watch the episode, and I don't feel like we should spoil it for those who haven't maybe caught up with it yet.
Of course not.
But it was no—it's no secret that that Barbara Windsor is leaving EastEnders permanently.
Yes.
It's been reported on for the past couple of weeks. A lot of people were expecting her to stay a little bit longer, have a few more episodes before saying goodbye, but that wasn't the case. And it's quite strange because, especially people our age. Like, if you ever grew up watching EastEnders, which I did on and off.
Yes.
It's very weird to think that, like, she was the staple. She was there was a time when she was the face of EastEnders, and still is, to
an
extent.
Yeah, my pub.
The catchphrases are never-ending, EastEnders.
But, yeah, I was always... I've always been more of a Coronation Street fan.
Yeah.
You know, Northern boy, probably, you know, rightly so. But I was always more of a Coronation Street fan, and I can imagine that this is sort of what it was like when... Well, like when Hayley out of Coronation Street died of cancer. You know,
similar
when she passed away in the show, or when... if Ken Barlow gets taken out of it at any point, because he's been in it since the very, very first episode.
Yeah,
I can imagine that's what it's like for Peggy Mitchell fans.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, especially when you're writing something that's that long as a serial, the temptation to keep old characters is very, very strong.
Yes.
Like Casualty, although a lot of people don't consider it a soap, it is. It has one character in it that was there from the beginning. I can't remember.
Charlie.
The nurse Charlie. And the funny thing with that is he doesn't really... Like, the story is, and obviously this is just speculation, and there's no official reports being said.
Yeah, of course.
But he does get... He is in less and less episodes and does get paid more and more each year. So the assumption is that he really doesn't really want to carry on. But because he's the thing tying them to that first episode...
Yeah.
Like, there are other characters
we
that
must
have
say
been
that
there.
That's just, you know, assumptions.
Oh, yeah,
that's
all
not,
assumptions. Yes. Siren FM is not accusing anyone of anything, and neither am I or Kai. These are the personal opinions of people I've never met, and my mother.
But, yeah, I can imagine that that's sort of...
Yeah, and it's really difficult, because you don't want that last thread to really go away, because then in reality, the show feels different.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have that one thing that tied it all together. Similar to that, though, like when you think of newer soap operas like Hollyoaks is very new.
Yes.
In comparison to its predecessors, Hollyoaks is very new, and it still has many characters that were in the first episode as well as still going on now.
The thing about Hollyoaks, though, is it's actually set in the same universe as Brookside.
Is it?
Yes.
I did not
know
that.
Yeah, it's because a lot of the same characters have moved into Hollyoaks.
I didn't know that. I do like it when you have sort of
Yeah.
Two parallel universes
because
going
there was
on.
This, the first time it was ever mentioned was because there was some sort of big explosion or something that went on one of them. I think a big
There's
explosion...
There's always explosions on Hollyoaks.
A big explosion happened on Hollyoaks
That's
near
like,
the very, very beginning.
Once a season, there's a big explosion.
And then on Brookside the next night, someone was reading a paper in the car... And it mentioned it on the front page, and I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool.
It's the same with Casualty and Holby City. They take place in the same universe because they often have...
The same hospital.
It's the same hospital, and they have characters moving between the A&E and the actual hospital.
And they've done crossover episodes as well.
They do crossovers all the time.
When they did a big storyline about the hospital burning down, they sort of had to show both sides of the story, you know? One can't just carry on.
Yeah, it's really weird how upstairs got burnt and everything downstairs is fine.
Yeah, and still running.
Yeah, soaps are interesting because they're such a staple of British television.
Of course. Of course. Now, I think it's time to move into another song. We are going to be taking all of your responses to our question this week, and our big, big topic is soaps and dramas. We want to know about what are some of your favourite soap operas and what are some of your favourite dramas.
Or now, if you don't like them at all, why?
Yeah, let us know and let us know why. Maisie has explained to me this morning that drama, like panel shows the other week,
not quite as bad as panel shows.
A plethora of things. So
in a way, I'd have to get up my module handbook to tell you specifically the criteria of a drama. Because for those of you who don't know, most of you, I imagine, I've just finished doing the British film, the British TV drama module at Lincoln University, and I literally got my grade back for it this morning.
All right, what did you get?
I'm not telling.
All right, fair enough.
Secret. It's for me to know.
All right. And you can get in touch. Let us know some of your favourite soap operas, some of your favourite TV dramas, and why you like them or don't like them. Get in touch in the many different ways on Twitter, @SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Maisie wants to get one more thing in.
I'm just going to say, grade-wise, I won't tell you the exact grade, but I will tell you, it's not so good that I could be considered an expert in drama, but it's good enough that I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, wow.
That's about it.
Big-headed Maisie has come out now.
How is that big-headed? I'm saying I'm not an expert level, but I know enough to get a decent grade.
So Maisie will be teaching us everything to do with dramas as the show goes on. Maisie.
I'm going to go upstairs and get my tutor. I bet he's in today.
Let's go into the next song.
We will indeed. This is In the End by Snow Patrol.
That was a bit of Snow Patrol. We are Squabblebox, your interactive debate show here live on Siren FM. We're going to be with you until 1 o'clock. Just after 12 o'clock today, we're going to be joined by our very special guests, Realize Theatre. Is there a sort of... Is there a pun in that name somewhere? Realize, as in, like, realize.
Realize
Because it's real,
what?
As in real... Eyes,
yeah,
like eyes on your head, but realize. Is
I
it
don't
meant
know.
To make you realize something. Maybe we're
you're
going
giving
to ask
me
them.
That face. You know, this, you have this face you pull when you think that you've cracked something, but you're not sure.
I'm not sure. We might have to
like,
ask them that.
It's when you you do this little head tilt, and then you look at me like with slightly like squinted eyes, just like. But is it? Is it though?
Brilliant radio material.
Brilliant
there.
Radio.
So this morning we've been talking about, can you believe that Peggy Mitchell has said her final goodbyes to EastEnders, Barbara Windsor leaving the cast for the final time. But we are today talking about your favourite soaps and dramas. So we want you to get in touch and let us know your favourite TV soaps and TV dramas. It can literally be anything. And that is what Chris from Lincoln has got in touch and said. He said that one of his favourites is Downton Abbey.
Now, Now, Downton Abbey isn't something I've ever tried.
Really? I thought you'd have been the sort of person who was into that.
You say into that in such a strange way.
Oh,
like,
sorry.
I
thought you'd have liked Downton Abbey.
I've never tried it. Never watched it. My parents like it. I know other people who like it. I don't know. I think I went through a phase of being kind of done with period dramas because there was such an abundance of them. Mainly, there's always been an abundance of them. It's what especially public service broadcasting are very good at.
Yeah.
So, it gets a bit samey after a while. I'm not saying that I'd never try it. And as far as I'm aware, it is reasonably good. Like, it's good quality television.
I've heard it's very, very good.
And it has Maggie Smith in it.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it's amazing. Any scene with her, I imagine, is amazing.
I've heard it's really, really good. It finished at Christmas didn't it, with its final episode, which was 2 hours long. And they had it, so there was that very big special episode where apparently that's the end. However, a lot of the cast are saying, you know what, we might come back for like a movie or something. Can you imagine a Downton Abbey movie?
Yes, just... I can. I can imagine it doing very, very well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can totally see that.
It's a strange thing. I mean, I quite like the fact that Downton Abbey it did mix it up occasionally because it starts pre-World War One.
Yes.
And finishes post-World War One. So,
I think they basically said that... I think it was either Maggie Smith or the other guy. What's his name? I don't know his name.
You're letting yourself down.
The quite tall guy who talks in a very posh voice.
That's all of them!
but they basically turned around... I think it was Maggie Smith who turned around and went, you know what, actually, she said... To be honest, if we carry on any longer, my character will be like 120.
Yeah, yeah, because she's one of the oldest characters, and they skipped over World War One.
Yeah.
So they didn't show World War One. I think they do flashbacks occasionally, and they put the context in afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't mind it. I haven't watched it. I'm sure if I gave it a go, I'd like it.
It's never really been my thing as period dramas.
Which is weird, because you do like some stuff that's based in the 70s, which would be considered period drama.
Well, I wouldn't count 70s as period
drama. Anything that's not current day is period drama.
That's like the people who go, oh, well, history can be anything. It can be what you had for breakfast this morning.
Who says that?
Oh, I've heard people say that before. teachers at high school.
My history teachers are just, right, I'm going to write it on the board and you're going to copy it down. That was my history lessons. I suppose any period drama can be anything that's not based in this current year. I mean, I suppose it works more with decades.
Yes.
But, like, anything that happened in anything that's set in the 2000s that wasn't made in the 2000s...
Yeah.
...is considered period drama now.
A drama which I presume is a period drama that has been very, very popular over the last few months and actually won a BAFTA is Poldark.
Poldark. Ooh, I'm interested.
Have you not seen that?
I think I've heard of it. I'm thinking you might be saying it wrong.
No, it's Poldark, and
I've only seen it written down. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say it out loud.
I'm sure you must have watched it, because you used to watch Gogglebox with me sometimes.
Occasionally,
And on Gogglebox, it's the one where every week it comes on, and the main guy rips off his shirt, and all the women on the show start, like, screaming and going, ah!
I feel like this is a dream you had.
No, seriously. It's a really, really popular show.
I have heard of it. But like the idea of you and Matt, you just...
Yeah, the guy...
You might have made it up in your head.
I'm going to have a Google of it now. But the guy who was actually... the guy who was actually in it nearly didn't get the part because he wasn't good enough looking. And now he's been... Now they're saying that he's like a sex symbol of 2016 and one of the best-looking people.
It's a bit much for a Thursday morning, Kai.
A little bit.
Well, let's move on to... Chris also mentioned Broadchurch.
He did, Broadchurch. Now, I've another one. I've never actually seen it.
I watched the first season, and it's so good. It's very, very good. It's very well acted. Most of the elements... are put together seamlessly.
Yes.
I've never seen the second season, and I'm assuming that I'll probably eventually catch up enough to watch the third as well. The only issue I had was me and my mother were watching it together, and we were waiting for them all to be done together, and then we were going to watch them back.
Yes.
In a box set style, because we're too impatient to watch them once a week.
Yeah.
The annoying thing was, the day that the final one came out, we were planning on watching all of them that evening, or at least start watching them that evening. And I got spoil in the newspaper.
Oh no!
For the killer, and I won't spoil it for anyone who's actually who hasn't seen it and does want to. But basically, I was just flicking through it like I normally did on my college run, and it was a big two page spread out of the whole thing with a giant picture of the killer.
Because I remember when Broadchurch first came out, it was really, they kept it hidden. They didn't tell even most of the cast who the killer was. And it really became a big thing, and the bookies were taking bets on it. And
I don't like how often you mention bookies.
Sorry?
Wait, no. I'm getting confused because the news mentioned bookies. I thought, I need coffee. Sorry.
Do I sound like I speak on Sky News? All right, cheers, Maisie.
Sky News were talking about the fact that the bookies have taken Daniel, because Daniel Craig said officially
he has
not doing James Bond anymore, and the bookies have taken Tom Hiddleston off the thing.
Yes, that's very interesting.
It is very interesting, but I got confused and
thought that it was me.
Why would you be talking about James Bond?
Oh, amazing. But yeah, like I was saying, they are one of those, it's one of those shows that the whole country seemed to get behind, and I was very, very behind on it and never watched it.
Yeah.
However, it is now available on some streaming platforms, I may have to check it out.
Including streaming platforms that you have available to you.
Yes, that's true.
So you will.
So
as well as that, there's one show in particular that one of our roommates wants you to watch so badly.
There is, and I tell you what, we should get into that another song. So, Maisie, I think it's time to head into another song. What are we heading into?
This is Drugs Don't Work by The Verge.
Stay tuned.
All this talk of getting old, it's getting me down, my love, like a cat in a bag waiting to drown. This time I'm coming down, and I hope you're thinking of me. She laid down on your side. Now the trucks don't work, they just make you worse. But I know. Yeah. Oh, love. Never coming down now, never coming down. No more, no more, no more, no more, no more.
That was The Verve with The Drugs Don't Work. You are listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. Myself, Kai Valentine, and my co-host, Maisie Anderson, are here with you until 1 o'clock with Squabblebox. I really like that song, Maisie.
Yes, I can tell. It's very to the point, isn't it?
I'm very to the point, but I've always liked it.
It has a goal and it sticks to it. I appreciate that.
I used to have it on my... it was one of the few things that I actually had on my iTunes. I'd play it all the time because it was on there and it had always come up. But yes, we are Squabblebox. Today we are talking about your favourite soaps and your favourite TV dramas. Mm-hmm. When I say soaps, I do mean TV soaps. I'm not asking you about, you know...
cleaning habits.
Yes.
That being said, I did explain to you on the way here why soaps are called soaps.
You did.
I thought it was common knowledge, and it might just be a rumor, because thinking about it now, it might just be like a complete, like, it's just one of those like legends.
But I'm pretty sure the reason
they were called soaps is because the first kind of soap opera dramas were sponsored by a certain brand of soap, and that would and it they would be, and the drama was actually called like After That Soap or something. I can't quite remember.
All right. Well, I tell you something, Maisie, because I've just done a quick Google as you were talking there. Among the first major sponsors of these cereals were soap manufacturers Procter and Gamble, Colgate Palmolive, and the Lee and the Lever Brothers. Probably pronounced all of them wrong, but you know, I've run with it.
I like that you pronounce Colgate wrong, even though it's one that definitely still exists.
Yeah, eventually, due to the fact that there were so many sponsors were soap manufacturers, the media started calling these shows soap operas.
Yeah.
That's quite interesting. I never knew that until this morning.
Why else would they be called soaps?
I thought, because I'd heard the phrase soap box or something, getting on your soap box.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I can kind of see why you think that, but it's very, like, getting on your soap box is more, you know, preaching about stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas soap operas more, they don't really preach as much as they show you, they do show you sort of what's supposed to be everyday life. That was the original aim of Coronation Street, was just to show everyday life. Looking at soaps now, they can get a little extreme sometimes.
Yeah. Well, but remember, you can get in touch with us and let us know your favourite soaps and your favourite TV dramas. Get in touch with us in the many different ways on Twitter at SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page. Go to www.facebook.com/squabblebox on Siren. Very, very simple. Get in touch and we'll read some of them out as the show goes on. Just like this one from Doreen in Huddersfield, who says, Coronation Street.
Yeah, we already touched on Coronation Street a bit.
A little bit. But it's one of those ones where it was the first soap opera.
It was the first, yes.
And created by Tony Warren 55 years ago, something like that. 56 years ago, because it was 2010 that was 50th anniversary.
Was it?
Yes, it definitely was. I remember that.
I'm getting confused because the 60th anniversary of ITV.
Yes.
Which it is distributed by, has its 60th anniversary this year.
Yes.
Cool.
So that means that Coronation Street was one of ITV's first shows as well in the first few years.
One of their up-and-coming shows, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But for the 50th anniversary, they made a documentary drama about Coronation Street.
Yes.
About the making of Coronation Street, about everything that went on behind the scenes all the way up until the first live show. Because it was originally filmed live.
Yeah, now I never knew about this, and as a big Coronation Street fan,
I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why they also make quite a big deal about the live shows now.
Yes, of course. And would you want to be a part of one of those live shows?
Like, the amount of organisation and coordination that goes into one of those shows, because you can watch, they have it available on one of their websites somewhere, where during the live show you can actually watch all of the camera feeds at once.
All right,
so
that's interesting.
You can see what's going on in the scenes that they're actually recording. But at the same time, they will show you how...
Them running around backstage,
trying
to get everything
how
ready.
How everything else is moving. And you say running around, it's not really running around because they're so organised. They're so prepared.
Yeah, of course.
Especially the cameramen, because I think it's the most complicated for them. Like, obviously, the acting is going to be difficult because you have to... Because you're suddenly going from a different medium.
Yeah.
But for the cameramen, they have to be so prepared to be where they need to be, on exactly the right point, looking at exactly the right person with exactly the right focus. And they have to do it in an instant. They have to switch immediately.
Yeah.
There's no time to like catch your breath. You just have to do it.
I remember when Coronation Street did their live episode last year, and one of the actors from Coronation Street, I can't remember the guy's name, but he turned around and said that he turned around and went, well, you know what, I'm not a fan of these live episodes. I really don't like them. And everyone went, that's awful. How can you say that? This is something we're all looking forward to. And then as an actor, I sort of sat down and went, you know what? I can understand why. Because his explanation was, everyone in the country, all the extra viewers that we're getting, are just people who are watching it to see someone mess up.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're looking for in the live episodes.
It was what some people are looking for.
What a lot of the people tuning in are looking for, to be honest.
And it happens quite a lot. There
are, you will sit there.
Normally it's really small slip-ups.
Yeah, and as a film and TV student, you would sit there and go, I'm going to sit here and watch to see what goes wrong with me. Would you not?
No, I wouldn't. Why would I do that?
I just thought maybe you'd, because you like pointing out the
it
little
mistakes.
It was
funny, you said it so cynically, like I'm some sort of weird, what is it? I've completely forgotten who it is.
I don't know, but you like pointing out the mistakes golem, in normal
yeah,
time.
Like I'm
golem.
Sort of, like I'm a golem on the sofa, just like, Yes, it is wrong.
That picture in my mind.
You're going to come downstairs tomorrow night and I'm going to be just like crouching on the couch waiting for you, watching Coronation Street.
Oh, amazing. That's funny. So let's have a talk about some other dramas. One drama that you absolutely love.
Yes, we were talking about this before the song and you changed the subject.
Oh, no, I was. Yes.
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 Because there's one drama which one of our roommates and me as well really want you to watch.
Have you seen it?
I think we might be talking about different things. Oh, no, two. There are two.
Yes.
There's one that one of our roommates wants us to wants you to watch, and then there's one that one of our roommates wants all of us to watch.
All right.
I'm thinking of the one that our roommate Jack wants you to watch, which is Sherlock.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I need to watch Sherlock. A lot of people. I know that Justin, who comments into this show a lot, has been telling me that I need to watch Sherlock as well. When he found out I didn't watch Sherlock, he was very, very not amused.
Oh, it's a fantastically put together show, and especially because it really does break an awful lot of formats that traditional dramas have.
Now, there's three episodes per series.
Three episodes per series. Each episode is an hour and a half long, and then there's the Christmas special, the Christmas / New Year special.
Yeah, and there's three seasons so far.
Three seasons so far, and they're working on the fourth.
See, I do need to get into it, really. Yeah. And
I mean, you're in a good position where you can binge-watch them. You can watch series one, series three with brand new eyes.
Whereas you were waiting for the last special for, like, over
years.
A year.
Literally years.
Yeah, I really should, because what I've been told is it's sort of like, it's like Doctor Who, but written better.
Yeah, it feels like Stephen Moffat put a lot more energy into it, I have to admit.
Because I have loads of people, because, like, as a Doctor Who fan, I personally like Stephen Moffat. I know people who don't like Stephen Moffat very much, or his writing at least. And there's been so many people who go, yeah, I hate Stephen Moffat's writing for Doctor Who, but I love it for Sherlock. Yeah. It just works.
And I think that's because he has, like, Sherlock's a team that works well together. It's not just Moffat, because his wife works on the show as well. He has all these other producers that work with him and other writers, and it's much more seamless. And I think it's because I think a lot of it is down to the base text, because it's such an already established medium. Not necessarily the medium, but the source text of Sherlock Holmes has been used again and again. And the fact that they managed to make it work was really amazing to me, because I remember hearing, oh, they're making a modern Sherlock, it's going to be awful, it's going to try and be too much like the source text, and it's going to ruin the whole thing, and everyone's probably not going to like it. And then watching the first episode, I was completely enthralled.
Yeah.
Because they made it modern, but they made it modern without losing the charm of the original text.
Yeah, a funny thing, actually, you know, funny I should mention this, but when I was about 14, 15, when I first got my iPod Touch.
Oof.
Right, we're going
that's
back a bit.
That's some
old
technology.
Yeah, I got an iPod Touch, and when I first got iTunes, I got a thing, it was around Christmas, and I got a thing where for 20, it was like an advent calendar, and you got a free thing from Apple every day.
That's
on
nice.
The Apple. And they were like little things, and a lot of stuff were like promotional stuff for them, and you know, if you get hooked to it, then you're going to buy more. Well, one of the things that I've got on there that has been sat there on my videos since the very, very beginning of my iPod Touch, and I've never watched.
Since your first Apple product.
The very first episode of Sherlock.
And now it's on every, like, nearly every platform.
And I remember seeing it and looking at it and going, oh, you know what? It's got Martin Freeman in it. I quite like The Office, so maybe I'll like that. But I never got round to watching it. And I've only just, the last couple of days, realised that it's still on my iPad.
I mean,
I've now got streaming websites and subscriptions that can, you know.
And we've got the DVDs at home for the first three seasons. Yeah. And as well as that, because you reminded me, because then our roommate Becky wants us to watch Whitechapel.
Whitechapel, yeah.
Desperately,
I've not seen
she
it.
Wants us to watch
I've
Whitechapel.
I've not seen it. I've
Neither
been told
I.
that it's... This has become a show of, let's talk about shows that we've never seen.
Yeah.
I know, but
That's the thing, there's so much drama to consume, yeah. Especially in Britain, where it's such a huge staple of the schedule of, like, typical British yeah. scheduling. It's so hard to see everything.
I do like the idea of Whitechapel, and I might watch it. I've never been massively into, like, crime dramas,
yeah,
and
which
stuff
is probably
like that.
Why you'd like Sherlock, because it is partly crime drama, but most of his investigating isn't crime related. Like, he doesn't do weird CSI stuff.
Yeah, of course.
He doesn't have to ask permission to do stuff. You don't get an awful lot of long conversations with him and a sergeant about stuff.
Yeah. I've always been more of a sitcom guy, of a drama. I just have been, and comedy-based
yeah.
things and
but
easy
you can
watching.
Get comedy dramas.
I mean, how much have we been arguing recently about some of the film going
I
off
got,
the topic of dramas?
Okay, I got really annoyed this morning because you weren't here for this. But literally this morning, one of our roommates turned round to me and said, "You're such a TV snob." Yeah, and I was annoyed.
That?
I'm not telling you.
Oh.
But basically, all I said was that I don't like Everybody Loves Raymond because I don't find it funny.
Oh, now I know who it is.
That's personal taste.
Yeah.
That's down to personal taste. I've never found it funny. As a kid, I didn't. And growing up, I never did. And I admit that, yeah, I can understand why some people found it funny at the time it was originally aired. And maybe it's just because it's so similar to other formats that have cropped up since that it just feels a bit played out.
It's a bit like I would from what you're saying there, because I've not really seen much of Everybody Loves Raymond, but it's a bit like how people say that Peter Kay's comedy is really played out and everyone tells those jokes, and you go, yeah, everyone's told those jokes since he said
yeah.
them in 2001.
That's
why they're very old hat.
I'm pretty sure Everybody Loves Raymond wasn't really the beginner of that
format.
That came after an awful lot of already predetermined good shows.
Yeah,
I don't know. I didn't like it, and I think part of that is because my parents didn't, so I didn't watch it very often anyway.
Yeah.
And I was very annoyed this morning when I was called a TV snob, and I can understand why, because I can be a little picky sometimes, but not all the time. Don't give me that look. I hate that look.
Oh, you're not a TV snob. You find your selections and you like them and you don't like
do
things that you don't
stuff.
Like.
I do try new stuff.
Yeah, of
I
course.
Try new
but
stuff.
Watch The Cobbler with Adam Sandler.
No. There's snobbery and then there's just taste.
Maisie seems to think that because I don't like, because I like Adam Sandler movies, that makes me less of a...
No, I've never said that you're less of anything because of it. I'm just saying you can't force me to watch them.
Remember, you can keep getting in touch with us and talking all about your favourite TV dramas, your TV soaps. We're going to talk about them all as the show goes on. We've got a couple of more minutes till we go into the news. We'll also be joined just after 12 o'clock with our very special guests, Realise Theatre, an upstart theatre company right here from Lincoln, who are here to talk about their upcoming performance at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre this Saturday. I think it's going to be a brilliant interview. I can't wait for them to come into the studio, and they will be here just after 12 o'clock. Now, Maisie,
yes.
Quickly, one more point before we go in. A drama that you like.
A drama that I'd like and I would recommend.
Yes.
Now, I say this only because I was doing a lot of work on it recently, and even though I had to analyse it scrupulously, I still love it, which means it holds up quite well if you have to analytically look at it and still think it's a solid bit of work.
Yeah.
And then there were none.
All right.
Which was a adaptation of the Agatha Christie novel, made by the BBC during, and it was. Well, I don't know when they made it, but I know that it aired during the new, between the new year, between 2015 and 2016. So it's reasonably recent. It is a period drama which is set in the 1920s, and it's got an awful lot of really interesting themes about Britishness, about sort of mentalities, about psychosis. And it's just visually very stunning as well. And it has all these really lovely images of the British coastline, of of the countryside, of beaches, of like British beaches, which look fantastic in the film.
All right.
It's a 3-part series, each similar to Sherlock's format, actually. It's 3 parts, and each episode is about an hour long.
Yeah.
A little bit more. I think it might be between an hour and an hour and a half.
Yeah. Oh, well, you'll have to check that one out, guys. That's And Then There Were None.
And Then There Were None.
Remember, you can get in touch with us in the many different ways on Twitter @SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. We're going to be going into another song now. We're going to be joined by Realize Theatre very shortly after 12 o'clock, but stay tuned, and we will be right back very, very soon. She's a rebel, she's a saint, she's a salt of the earth, and she's dangerous. She's a rebel, vigilante, missing link on the brink of destruction. From Chicago to Toronto. Because you're one of a kind. Yeah, here's to you. You're the one that always pulls us through. You always do what you gotta do, babe. Cause you're one of a kind. You're the reason why I'm breathing with a little look my way. You're the reason that I'm feeling it's finally safe to stay. You're listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox, your interactive debate show, right here on Siren FM. Myself, Kai Valentine, and my co-host, Maisie Anderson, are now joined in the studio by our very special guest this morning, Realize Theatre. How are you doing, guys?
Thank you.
So let's just let you all individually introduce yourself. So if we go down the line.
Yep. So I'm Fleur, and I am producer and performer in the company.
I'm Jess G, I'm director.
I'm Jess M, and I'm also director and performer.
That must be really easy for you two guys to remember. Just said both directors are called
Jess.
Jess.
Shout Jess and we'll turn around.
So you have a performance coming up at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. That is called a...
Memoir of a Forgotten Past.
Yes, and you are part of the University of Lincoln and the Theatre Company course, Theatre Company module on the drama course. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about the module and how you all became a company?
Yeah, so... In our first few weeks of theatre company, we just kind of got the chance to say what sort of styles of theatre we were interested in. And I remember our lecturer, Lisa, getting us to write down on a piece of paper kind of things we'd seen before that sparked ideas of interest. And then we had to go around the room and kind of speak to anybody and share these interests and then just kind of go with, rather than... oh, let's go with these people because they're our friends. We went with
what we were interested,
in.
Now, a big part of this piece is all about friendship. Were you guys friends before the theatre company got started?
We all knew each other, but yeah. I wouldn't say we were like...
No, I'd never worked with any of you guys.
I'd only worked with you, Fleur, and that
was
maybe
I'd only worked with Jess.
And there's 10 of us, so...
So we've gone really well, actually.
Yeah, we're a really good team, yeah.
That's got to be sort of a... It's a strange way to go about things, but actually it's probably a better way because there's no,
definitely.
Like, history there and you can all just start afresh on a new piece.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, it's all been so peaceful and so relaxed. Like, everyone's not had a problem with anything. We've not had any arguments. No. We've all been really chilled.
So
really
tell
nice.
Us a little bit about the piece.
So our piece is based on generations and how... the decades we grow up in kind of shapes the way we live our lives, and it's about connecting people back to sort of basics, really. So the sort of tagline for our show is Smile, Wave, Connect, where we sort of bring people back to show that even though as times go on that things change, actually friendships and things like relationships are still actually all the same in their ideals. So...
It's also heavily, but it's set in Lincoln, so we wanted to bring like a lot of Lincoln into it. So we've got pub names and street names and stuff like that, just so we like recognise that the majority of the audience would have some like
and can relate.
Yeah, would have.
It's
some
it's a really relatable piece, like a thing that is involved in it. You know, that hopefully every single audience member through the decades can relate to what we're doing.
Each decade as well, we're hoping to target like
age range.
Because we're in the 80s decade, so we're hoping to appeal to like the people who grew up in the 80s, and we've also got the 50s, and there's also modern day. So
What has it been like then trying to create these different decades on stage?
Really fun.
I imagine going shopping for the costumes and the props must have been so much fun.
The research so as well much. I found really enjoyable, like what people do in their spare time and like
especially 50s.
Yeah.
Like you can't imagine what they what their life would have been like, especially as women. Like we didn't want it to be focused around like a woman group, but the way it kind of developed, it just happened to be that way.
That has been a sort of challenge with our theatre company because we're a 10-piece like girl group. That sounds like we're
girl group. We're a band.
But company. We didn't know because we wanted to have male voices in it, but obviously we didn't want to sort of dress up as males. We wanted it to still be present, but so we found ways to get around that in our piece. And the main part is sort of recordings as well, so we've got real voices which are true stories from people, how they grew up in the 50s and the 80s.
Aww,
is what we really wanted. We wanted it to be very authentic.
And it's interesting the decades you chose, because I suppose if looking at it, especially from my point of view, the 50s would be my grandparents, the 80s would be my parents, and then modern day would be me. And I imagine a lot of people, especially of our generation, are on a similar length.
That's what we kind of wanted to target, because like obviously a majority of our parents grew up in the 80s and stuff like that, so we could get stories off them and like feedback from them and whether we were doing it justice.
Like a lot of our costume actually came from
parents.
I was going to say, like if you're losing any, like my mum has got tons.
So has Fleur's mum, to be fair.
Yeah, so much.
We've got some crazy outfits going on.
You should come for that alone.
Yeah, the costumes are great.
Now it says on your website, I was looking at your mission statement, it says that you specialise in contemporary visual performance which aims to throw light on new topics. For people who aren't drama students, what does that entail?
Well, we've actually recently updated our mission statement.
Okay.
Oh, you're so behind,
which it now is valuing the life's little moments. Yeah. So we did want to have contemporary visual performance, so we wanted it to be very sort of visual, but in the end that's a part of theatre company. You kind of go through a process of what works for you and what doesn't. And we found that actually those moments that you kind of often brush off as moments that just everyday moments, the things that kind of come out that don't often get recognised. We wanted those little moments
to be our focus.
To be our focus. Oh. So
we call them the little moments of living.
I love that. That's a great phrase.
We found a lot of times in rehearsals we'd say stuff that was funny and then we'd laugh about it and then we'd be like, no, actually, let's just go in. It was actually like, that's just what life's like. We wanted to represent real life, not like a staged version of life.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's time to go into another song, Maisie, but Realise are going to be sticking with us after that to talk a little bit more about their company and their upcoming performance at the LPAC here in Lincoln. But you have chosen this next song.
We have.
So do you guys want to... You guys can introduce it.
Okay, this is Our House, but is it by Madness?
By Madness.
Oh, gosh.
Our House by Madness. Stay tuned.
Our house was our castle and our
You're listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox. We're going to be with you until around 1 o'clock today. But we are joined here now with Realise Theatre Company. Still doing well, guys. You're enjoying being on the show?
Yes, very much.
And we're loving having you now. Maisie, I believe we've had a message in.
We have indeed. Laura in Lincoln has messaged in to say that the Realise Theatre cast and crew are listening in today.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you got your fans out there.
Hey guys.
Another person, because as we say, this is the theatre company module on the drama course here at Lincoln, third years. Yeah, I've got this to look forward to next year. However, we did get a message in from Pinpoint Theatre, who you guys know.
Yeah.
They've got a piece coming up, How I Got to the Moon and Back, at 7:30pm on Sunday, the 22nd of May, at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. So that's the day after yours.
Yeah.
So once people have gone to see yours and they love
yours, go check
it
out.
See all the other theatre companies throughout the weeks that are coming up.
It's like a whole season that's going on at the LPAC at the minute, all of these theatre companies. How many are there in total? Do you know?
Eight, I think. Yeah. It started on Tuesday and it goes through to next Tuesday, so...
Maybe seven.
Yeah.
Or is it eight? Because there's two on each Tuesday.
Who knows?
We're not sure.
There's lots of theatre going on.
It's always a bad idea to ask just to do any maths on Squabblebox.
Yeah. So, guys, you had a point to make when we were playing Our House by Madness. You brought up that there was something relating to your piece.
Yes, because it's set... our whole piece is set in one house, which is actually in Lincoln. I will not reveal the location. it's about three friends, three generations, three decades... and it's all set in one house. That's the main thing, because that's why we wanted to play Our House.
Yeah. And they do say all the best things come in threes. So.
Exactly.
Like our lovely guest this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was smooth. Less so when you point it out.
So, as I've mentioned, this is part of the theatre company module on the drama course. The drama course as a whole at the University of Lincoln, how are you finding it?
Well, you've finished now, haven't you?
Saturday it'll be our last thing. So this is we want to go out with a bang, like
I imagine like that's probably the best way to end your entire experience at university is just doing a big show with people that you really like,
especially all together.
Yeah. And you get to do whatever you want, which is like the most beautiful part of it. Because some modules, like I've loved them all, but like you think, oh, I could do this differently, but with theatre company, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, so we wrote all of our script, we devised it all, and
it was really
good to all work together on something really special.
Exactly. It feels like the last chance to kind of get to show what our creative skills are all about. Like, so,
And what would your plans be for the future then? Is Real, I'm putting you all on the spot here, is Realise Theatre something that you would like to continue with after university, or are you all thinking of different paths?
Well, we'd love to, obviously. But you know, we're all kind of going separate ways, and none of us are really Lincoln locals. You're up north, I'm in the Midlands, down south.
It all depends. Like, I mean, we've loved working together.
I think if I was staying in Lincoln, there'd be no issue.
Definitely, 100%.
If we were all together, we'd definitely pursue it.
Now, let's talk about the name Realise Theatre. Where did that come from? And that snigger that makes me think that
it was very early on in the
very
process.
Early on. Yeah, I was like the first week.
I think because when we were talking about our interests, we were all like, we want people to be reflective on what they're watching. And we were like,
make people realise
what
we're doing.
Is it a pun?
Yes, it is.
Earlier on in the show, at the very, very top of the show today at 11 o'clock, I read out the name, and as soon as I read it out sort of on air for the first time, it sort of clicked in my head what you were going for, and I turned around to Maisie and went, do you think that's a pun? And she went, I don't know, you'll have to ask them.
So, yes.
That's brilliant. So you've all really enjoyed working together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to be sad when it's over.
Yeah.
What are I know this is something that all third year drama students hate to hear, but what are your plans for the future then? Have you got any immediate...
Oh, nervous laughter.
I don't have any job plans, but I'm going to see my friend who lives in Sweden.
Yeah, so
that's travelling. Travelling's a plan.
Travelling
always sounds great.
I feel like I once got told by someone that travel, like, or have a break when you're after uni, because if you get into something straight after, then you're on the kind of career spectrum, so then you're going to go into thing, you'll always have that there, whereas you can't then come out of a career after that. So if you want to travel or do something like that, do it straight after uni, which is
we've been in school since we were what, 4 or 5?
This
is a long time.
A break would be fantastic.
Having a break, I think it's the perfect time as well. You've got the opportunity to, you know, save a bit of money and go.
You've got no ties.
I was like, what is that word? You've got nothing holding you back at this moment.
Why not?
Now, theatre as a whole is something that can really make people think and really get them thinking after they've seen a performance. What is it that you want people, when they leave your performance, what is it that, that you want them to be thinking about?
I want them to think, because personally, when creating the show, it made me reflect like upon like my own life, my own family, especially since we're the different generations. It makes me think of like what was my nan doing in the 50s and stuff like that. So I think we just want people to reflect upon their lives and just think, we want to make the most of
it.
The cheesy way as possible. Yeah. Just
be with the people that you love and don't worry about the little things.
You talk about the different decades that are portrayed in the performance. Do you believe that we still have the same values now as like our grandparents did in their generation?
See, this is what we've been toying with.
Because I feel like you're going to spoil the ending.
Oh, sorry.
We'll not reveal
it. No, you won't. Don't worry.
Because we think, like, the fundamental issues of like being human, we're all still the same, we all have friendships, we all love people, and like we all value each other, but like the way we live our lives changed, society's changed, people travel a lot more, and people go to uni in different places, so I think life has changed, but really we're all kind of just the same still.
That's really, really great to hear, and it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic performance. Just remind everyone the name of the performance again.
Memoir of a Forgotten Past,
which will be at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday evening. You can get in touch by going to www.lpac.co.uk, and that's where they can get tickets, or they can go down and get them from the box office. Thank you very much, Realise Theatre, for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
We wish you all the best for the future. And I think now, Maisie, it's time to go into another song.
It is indeed. Stay tuned.
Listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station, and we have just been joined by the fantastic Realise Theatre. A brilliant interview there, three lovely girls, and we wish all 10 of them the best for their performance at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre on Saturday evening. I might have to go along to that.
I really want to.
It sounds really interesting, actually. So we will we'll have to let them know on Monday. If we get there, we'll have to tell everyone about it on Monday's show. That is a little sly way of me promoting that.
Not so sly.
As Maisie said in that last interview, that was smooth. You can check us out on Monday. We'll be doing our hashtag Ask Us Anything Monday special, 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. right here on Siren FM. But today, in case you'd forgotten before the news, we've been talking all about your favourite TV soaps and TV dramas. You can get in touch with us in the many different ways on Twitter at Siren FM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
And don't forget, if you are listening on the Radio Player app, there is a way. I don't know how, but you can contact us through that.
Yes,
there's
you
a
can
button
contact
somewhere.
Us through the Radio Player app. Maisie is so happy that she found this.
This is the thing. I knew that it was available because my mum, that's how my mum contacts the show. But I didn't realise how it was done until I read the piece of paper with the information.
Oh, that's brilliant. Now, let's talk about some of our favourite dramas, because I've not really mentioned a couple of them. I don't normally like dramas,
no.
But there have been a few that I really liked. The first one that I want to mention is The A Word.
Oh, yes, you mentioned this a lot.
Yeah, because I really, really enjoyed it. It is basically, I know that it became really popular, did its predecessor, which I'm presuming is by the same people, because it was made for ITV, no, BBC, sorry, which was The C Word, which starred Sheridan Smith.
Yes.
And now this one is The A Word, which it has...
Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah, Christopher Eccleston. I nearly said David Tennant. I was like, no, that is not right at all. That's Broadchurch, Kai. I'm getting so many things wrong on today's show. But I've really, really enjoyed this, and it's taught me a lot about autism.
Yes, I imagine it has. For those of you who don't know, the whole show is about a family who are living with I don't know how to explain it.
They are living with their son,
who is
5 years old, has autism, and
it's how they're
dealing with it. But it's a really, really interesting piece, and the first few episodes have gone off iPlayer now, but the last few are still on there. I've still got to watch the final ever episode.
It'll be box setted eventually.
Yeah. I'm sure that it'll be, you know, put on Netflix or Amazon Prime or another streaming platform at some point down the line. But I really like that. Another one that I really like is actually filmed near our neck of the woods, Maisie, which is...
I think I know what this is.
Last Tango in Halifax.
Yeah, you do love that.
That's a really good one. That's got Derek Jacobi in it. And that lady that's in everything.
well, everything that's...
she's in
Sally,
everything and she that, cries in everything.
Everything that Sally Wainwright writes, she's in.
Really?
Yeah, that was actually a big deal because the same actress... I'm assuming you were talking about the same actress.
There's two of them that are in everything.
Yeah,
Sarah Lindsay.
Doing a quick Google.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Yeah, basically the actress who plays the daughter in Last Tango in Halifax is also in Happy Valley. And because these two shows are played actually alongside each other most of the time, scheduling-wise, there was an awful lot of talk about casting someone else in Happy Valley because they were worried that the viewers were going to get confused.
You see, that wasn't the actual actress that I was talking about.
Were you talking about the other actress?
I was talking about Nicola Walker, who is
Walker is in everything.
Who's in Broadchurch and everything. however, you're talking about Sarah Lancashire.
I am talking about Sarah Lancashire.
But yeah, I really enjoy Last Tango in Halifax. I believe it's coming back for a fourth series soon.
Yeah.
However, it's been delayed because they're still writing it,
is
what Google is telling me right now. However,
but
it will
you can
be,
never trust the internet.
However, it will be the final run.
Yeah.
However, it has run for four series.
That's
which
pretty
is,
good.
Which is quite good. And I've just really enjoyed it. It's very very northern.
Yes.
And it shows the different sides of Yorkshire, though.
Oh,
and it
yeah,
shows the
yeah.
amazing Yorkshire Dales. And
they never look that pretty when I go to see them, though.
No, they never do. Like, do you remember when the Tour de France came through? And
it was that one
day that we had amazing weather. And now all these tourists are coming to go and look at the Yorkshire, and they're turning up and it's raining and grey and moody, and everyone goes,
and they're just like,
where are all these amazing Yorkshire Dales? And you're, yeah, that's one day a year.
try doing your D of E on the Yorkshire Dales. It's a nightmare. It's awful.
Go on, Maisie, another drama that you enjoy.
Oh, there are so many.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
There's so many. Why did you have to put such an open-ended question?
I know, it's terrible. to be honest, Oh, I'm really struggling to think of any. I mean, we're talking about specifically British drama.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I do like a lot of American dramas as well.
What American dramas do you like?
Ooh, I don't know. I know, but it's difficult.
Do you want me to go on to another one that I like,
yes,
maybe?
Please, let me give you some time to think.
No worries.
Oh, my brain's going into overload.
I really liked the Syndicate.
Okay.
Now, this was on last year, and it ran for 6 episodes. It's actually its third series. Mm-hmm. However, each season, or series, it has... I never get it right, Maisie. Over here, in the UK, it's series.
It normally is, but Americanisms have come in, and some companies...
But Americans call it... A series is like saying
the series
that,
is the overall
yeah,
program.
Like The Office US... Mm. Is like a series, but each series that we have as a
series
is a season.
Has a season.
Whereas
it's
a weird
thing. In the UK, it's more this is a program, and this program has so many series in it. However, I feel like season makes more sense because
I think yeah.
There aren't many Americanisms that I'm fond of, but this is one that I particularly like, especially because it's so much easier to talk about a season because in reality, that is exactly what it is. It's taking each season is a length
I guess
of a season.
We don't have we don't have like seasons as in like American TV have like renewal seasons and stuff, don't they?
Yeah, most American TV companies have renewal seasons, which is something that is going on at the moment is the renewals.
Yeah.
Because very recently we were told that many programs aren't coming back.
A lot of been axed.
Well, I think it's more that I'm in a position now where I'm more likely to find that information, that I'm actually seeing it.
Yeah.
But there are things like Agent Carter has been axed.
Yeah.
And a couple of other things that I can't remember off the top of my head.
Grandfathered
was axed.
with Drake and Josh. Yeah. That's the only thing I know about it. I've not actually seen it, but I've been meaning to look at it. But I always get a bit disappointed when I've been wanting to watch a show and then I find out it's been axed.
Yeah.
I sometimes feel like when it's been axed, it hasn't got to the end of its story. So
yeah,
is there any point starting it?
That is something that bothers me a lot, especially because that can go one of two ways. Either it's axed because it went downhill very quickly, or is it axed because there's just no room for it, or the audience is too small.
That's why a lot of seasons sort of always end with
oh, yeah,
an
yeah.
End.
You can tell. There are always going to be 2 episodes of every season that are super hyped in drama. Even if it's not a drama series, it'll be super hyped in drama. They'll have cliffhangers and everything. Because the idea is that they're trying to hook the producers back into the show.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to talk about The Syndicate, but I think we should go into another song first.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
So let's go into another song. Maisie, what are we going into? But Maisie's going to mess around with the thing now,
because
I made the mistake again, and I'm going to point it out because Maisie is
getting very annoyed
at me again. Maisie, what are we heading into?
This is Kiss It Better by Rihanna. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Yeah. listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. Myself, Kai Valentine, and my lovely co-host, Maisie Anderson. I need to find another adjective.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Because I always use
like,
lovely. I've been using it for weeks.
Everyone knows I'm lovely.
Every time that I say lovely, she's like kicking me under the table.
Every time you say lovely, I look at you and I'm because there's a little smile because it's nice.
Lovely co-host, Maisie Anderson. I'm saying lovely because I can't say fantastic anymore because people call me out on saying fantastic.
I don't mind. It's such a Christopher Eccleston thing.
Yeah,
though.
I'll tell you what, because that's something that I'm mentioning his name again and he's going to love that I'm mentioning his name. But Justin, our listener in Ohio, he told me, like, after listening for the first sort of 3-4 weeks,
yeah.
I was like, I need to stop saying fantastic. I've realised that I say fantastic too much on the radio. And he went, oh, I just thought it was like a really British thing. like a Christopher Eccleston thing. I thought that was just your thick eye. And I was like, no, it was just something I hadn't realised that I'd
done. It's a force of habit, yeah.
So let's get on with this fantastic show. And we've got some messages in.
Our fantastic listeners.
We've been asking you about your favourite dramas and soap operas. But first, I wanted to talk about The Syndicate.
You did, because it's set... Okay, I've never heard of The Syndicate. I don't know what it's about.
I've
heard of it.
What
I don't
know
what it's about. It sounds like some sort of like really cool spy thing.
It's about a group of people who win the lottery.
Why is it called The Syndicate?
Because that's what a group of people who win the lottery is. You join a syndicate, and like you can join a syndicate with all like your work colleagues. Like if we did a little box syndicate for the lottery and put like 50p in it, oh, it's £2 for a lottery ticket now.
Yeah, put a pound
so
in each.
So put a pound in each, and then we'd share the winnings if we won.
Okay.
But the whole point is that if you're doing it with a group of 10 people, then it's, you know, you'll get a small share, but you're more likely to win it because you'll all get like 10...
So many tickets.
Like 10,
you put into a kitty, you get so many tickets back.
Exactly, yeah, that's how it works. But that was really, really good, and it's all about that, and it's quite a... And there's been 3 seasons of it, I call this series because they're all different. They've all got different actors and different stories.
Oh, so
but
it revamps all about, every time.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But this most recent one was the most popular one, and it had Lenny Henry in it, playing a... playing a character, and it was a serious role, and he was very, very good. Mm. It was really, really interesting and a really good piece, and I think you'd love it. I'm gonna have to try and find
it. Sounds like the sort of thing I'd like.
You've got Box of Broadcast for your for your university work. It'll probably be
Bob.
On there, Bob. So that's one for people to check out if you haven't seen it, The Syndicate. But let's get into a few that people have mentioned. We've mentioned Chris's. Said Downton Abbey and Broadchurch, which we've mentioned. He said David Tennant is brilliant in Broadchurch, and you never know where they are going to go with it next. It's one of those crime dramas that's so hard to call, pretty much what we were saying earlier.
That's why I love crime drama. I watch so much crime drama, and I'm doing a course in crime drama next year. And the main reason why I like crime drama is because I do like trying to guess it. And normally, with Sherlock, I can never get it. But with the American version of Sherlock, which is Elementary, I get it sometimes.
See, this is why I like soap operas, because I can guess it, but it's a lot easier to guess because you just see
the
two people gaze at each other in the pub and you go, yeah, in 6 months' time, they're going to have an affair.
Yeah. Or there's an awkward hand-holding, it's like, oh, they're getting married one day.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas with crime drama... There are some crime dramas that have a very clear formula, and it got to the point once where I was watching an episode of Castle, which is a drama I really like, an American one, where we were watching the first 10 minutes, and within the first 10 minutes, I guessed who the killer was, and my mum had already seen the episode.
Oh, no.
So she was have we seen this one? And I'm like, nope.
At least you didn't spoil it. At least you didn't spoil it for her.
No. She was the one who... because she watched all of them and then told me how great it was. So I started watching them. And my mum likes watching me watching drama.
Because you point things out.
Because I point things out. And I get... Sometimes I can get a bit overly emotional about stuff. Like, last night I was watching the season finale of Elementary episode... Season 1. And I won't say anything about it because spoilers, so many spoilers, but it happened, like the thing happened and I couldn't quite handle it. I got really sad. And then it ends up happy in the end, so I was like, okay, cool.
We've had a few more messages in. Another one here from Chris, who said at the end of his message, I really found myself enjoying the Partners in Crime series, which surprised me, being that it had David Walliams in it playing a serious role.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I think a lot of comedians do get underestimated and typecast, and it's nice seeing so many people being given a really good opportunity to play a serious character in a drama.
Of course.
Because, you know, it takes an awful lot of acting talent to be able to make people laugh in the first place, so why would it be expected that they couldn't play a serious role?
Yeah, yeah, and it sometimes is a little bit weird because you can get typecast in stuff.
Oh, it's so easy to get typecast.
I mean, imagine if, I don't know, like, I couldn't imagine any comedy character like Lee Mack playing a serious role, because he admits himself, he doesn't act. When he does Not Going Out, he goes on and he's playing a comedian called Lee.
Yeah, it's interesting because there are typecasting is actually quite a big thing, especially when you look at moving away from drama just for a little bit.
Yeah.
When you look at sci-fi typecasts really hard. Once you are in the sci-fi genre, especially if you're an actress, it's very difficult to get work outside of it.
Yeah.
So there are actresses like Summer Glau who have only ever done sci-fi. And it's still serious stuff. It's serious drama that has a sci-fi twist on it. But she's very rarely been allowed. Like, I'm not sure whether it's been that she's not been able, whether she's not been introduced to, or whether she actually just wants to do just sci-fi.
Yeah.
But it's careers like that that make you look and go, well, that's a bit weird.
Some people can do other things. Like Patrick Stewart does sci-fi, but he does...
This is an interesting thing. It's not necessarily about what the actor can and can't do. It's if they get well known for doing one genre, they tend to stay there.
Yeah, like, I can imagine that.
Like most action hero movies, you'll have the same actors regurgitated into different but similar roles over and over again for action heroes.
Yeah.
But like you were saying with Patrick Stewart, he does everything.
Yeah.
One thing with Patrick Stewart, though, is that apparently, like, if he's... when he talks about the stuff he does for TV and film, that's work. That's his job, that's his career. When he does stuff for theatre and when he does films that are slightly more niche...
That's fun.
That's his hobby.
All right, that's
what
quite cool.
That's what he enjoys doing.
That's the best way to look at it. Do what you can so you can have the money, you know, to do the hobby.
Yeah. To be fair, if someone comes up to you and asks you to play Professor Xavier, it's very difficult to say no.
Oh, of course. Now, we've had a few more messages in. Doreen from Huddersfield has got in touch and said that she likes Line of Duty and Shetland. Two shows that I've heard of. They're both dramas. I believe they're both crime dramas. I know that Line of Duty is, because Line of Duty sounds like a crime drama. But other than that, have you not seen either of those, Maisie?
They're not familiar to me, no.
Oh, we found one that Maisie...
Oh, there are tons I don't know. I would never say that I know lots of dramas. I mean, you tried to ask me what my favourite one was and my mind went completely blank.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that, yeah.
It's difficult. I mean, I think the problem with me is that because my favourite thing tends to be in a little bubble of whatever time I'm watching it at, so... If I'm watching an awful lot of a particular programme, that'll be my favourite. But then as soon as I'm done with it, my favourite will move on to something else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it gets a bit difficult.
Got a message in from Lynn in Huddersfield, who you're probably going to realise the relation that I have to her in a very quick second. She says, I love Coronation Street, but my son often calls for a chat whilst I'm watching it, as he's about 3 weeks behind and watches it on catch-up. So it looks like, yeah, I seem to always ring my mum during Coronation Street. I used to watch it religiously. I have not watched Coronation Street for about 4 months.
But isn't all the interesting stuff happening this time of year?
I don't know.
It's normally always like the summer tends to have like a big thing.
I dropped off after the live episode last year and I got very, very busy with uni work and stuff like that. But I've been following the sort of stories. So I'm not going to go back and go, wow, you're with him and he's dead. He got murdered
by who? As long as they don't do it Dallas.
Oh, no.
Dallas is remarkable in the way that it just doesn't care.
EastEnders is the same. EastEnders bring people back from the death all the time.
I'm sorry, say that phrase again.
From the dead all the time.
From the dead.
Now, Maisie, let's put you on the spot again. Another drama that you like.
something that I can think of so many, but
and it's got to be a good one, Maisie, because it's going to be the last one of the show.
No.
An American drama. You say you like American
dramas. I do like American dramas. And I'm trying
to
think.
We have American listeners listening.
Oh, no, I know one that I should recommend.
Go on, then.
Orphan Black.
All right, I've heard of this.
Orphan Black. It's on Netflix at the moment. It was originally on BBC, I think.
Yeah.
It might have been Channel 4. It was originally on a British network.
Okay.
But now it's on Netflix. And I haven't watched it yet. I've been saving it. I've been saving it for the summer because I wanted to watch it in its entirety without having to feel guilty about not doing work.
Yeah.
So I'm finally ready to start watching it. It's something that I've been recommended by my mum, by my dad, by my sister, by other people who have watched it. And basically it's the idea of this woman discovers that she, for some weird reason, she has a doppelganger.
Yeah.
And she meets the doppelganger, but only for a second before this doppelganger dies.
Oh.
And she takes over this woman's life because her life is horrible. So she takes over this woman's life and discovers there are even more of her. More of the exact same woman. And the whole story is about how all of these women are so different, but have the same face, the same body. They have different relationships. They live in different countries. They have different languages. And it's just this, and it's a sort of revealing the mystery of how this happened, yeah. How so many women that look exactly the same came about.
I love how strange dramas can be when you actually sit down and explain them.
I like strange drama. I mean, as much as I like dramas that's set in realism, I find that dramas that go a little bit out there, go a little bit quirky, can be really, really powerful.
Yeah.
Especially because at the moment, doing the course I'm doing, we're expected to take things a little further. And training to do that when you're new in the industry means that when you come out doing and you're able to have like your own show, you can twist things and you learn the balance.
Yeah.
Because we're in a sort of, in the 80s, you could do anything and it could be as weird as you like, especially in comedy, and everyone would just go along with it. Whereas now, you can't be too weird without reining it in a little bit.
Yeah, I could totally see that. But it's time to end today's show.
It is.
We are quickly coming up to the news. So we're going to say goodbye. You can get in touch with us throughout the week. Let us know some of your favourite dramas on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox, or at Squabblebox on Twitter. Remember, you can listen back to this show on the DSJMP and Trending Topics networks on iTunes. And also, you can join us on Monday morning, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m, same time as today, right back here for Squabblebox. We'll be doing a hashtag Ask Us Anything special. You can get in touch and literally ask us anything.
We just can't promise that we'll read it out.
But you can try and ask us anything.
You can try.
Thank you everyone for tuning in today. Thank you again to Realise Theatre. Check out their show 7:30 p.m. at the LPAC this upcoming Saturday night. Now it's time to head off, Maisie. Let's go into the next song. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Squabblebox. We really, really appreciate your support. Another thing we really appreciate is our second home right here on the DSJMP network. And you can find all the other great shows here on DSJMP by going to www.dsjmp.com or searching for them on iTunes, where you can find some fantastic shows like the European Uppercut Podcast, the Rasslecast, 10 to 1, the Tuts Experience, and of course, Squabblebox. Thank you for downloading. Make sure you check out everything else on Siren FM and the DSJMP network. And we'll see you all right back here next week.